And I'm glad we believe. You know what? Some of y'all worship today like some of you believe. How many of y'all believe in here? Amen. You believe some of my... Okay. All right, we're going to break it down today. I'm going to give you a principle we're going to mess with for a minute. I want you to know that God wants you to be blessed. And I'm going to give you two things we need to focus on. Glad and rejoice. And I'm going to propose to you that glad and rejoice is different than happy. And one of the things that God impressed upon me about 3.5 years ago through just loving you all and looking at people and throughout my whole ministry career, I've just dealt with a lot of people that have gone through depression. And so I was praying with God. I said, man, what causes this depression? Where does some of it come from? And there's all kinds of reasons, but I want to give you a very simplistic reason. I think that you and I have bought into happiness. And happiness itself may be the illusion of the devil. If I was the devil, what I would do is create a position that you desired but could never get to. Coach, how would you like to coach a team you could never win with? It'd be pretty frustrating when you have a dream of winning but you can't get there. See what I'm talking about, guys? See what I'm talking about? I think this thing, happiness, sometimes becomes an illusion. And the more I study the scripture, you know, the Bible, Jesus never said, I've come to make you happy. He just doesn't do that. He said, man, I want you to have a full life, a rich life, an abundant life, a joyful life. There are these rich concepts that God gives to us. Things that are literally out of this world. They're not of this world. They're out of this world. And I think happiness is too much of this world to be what God really wants you to be about. So this week, what are we going to celebrate? I mean, we're all going to do it. We're going to have what? Thanksgiving. I mean, the greatest thing is you don't have to go to school most of the week. That's something to be thankful for. Amen. You get a little break there and you hang out. And when I was a kid, I loved Thanksgiving because my grandparents would come to the house on Thanksgiving and they always treat you better than your parents. They think you're wonderful, never discipline you. So that was a cool thing to have happen. And then I've always enjoyed eating. And in Thanksgiving, you get a what? Eat. And then, of course, Thanksgiving celebrates. That's a week that celebrates the greatest sport that God ever invented, which is football. And that's all week long, goes on a week. And so it's really a great, great week. You know, I mean, you watch football, you eat, and you eat, and you watch more, and you eat. And yeah, it's great. Be thankful, be glad, and what? Rejoice. Well, here's what I want to propose to you today. What you hold on to is not as great as what holds on to you. Sometimes we have a hard time giving thanks because what we hold on to has let us down. Now here's what I want to propose to you. This Psalm 40 is a little crazy because we got this guy who's a king, King David. King David is writing this Psalm. King David, he was the man. He had it all. He had coin. I mean, David had coin because he was a what? King. Y'all ever met a poor politician? There was only one. Harry S. Truman. He's the only one that ever left office less than what he went into. All the rest of them, they made money. All right, he's a politician, he's a leader, and they should make money. They got a lot of responsibility. Dude made money. David had coin. You with me? He's got coin. He's got the purse. He's got power. He's the what? He's the king. Any of y'all know about kings? If the king gets ticked off at his Congress, what can he do? He just kills them all. Yeah, it's a great political plan. Don't like that Congress? Get me a new one. He's the king. He's not in a democracy. He is the man. I'm telling you, Oprah would want to interview this guy. Okay? He would be on Nightline. He would be famous. How many of you all see people that want fame, man, and want recognition? They want everybody to know their what? Name. How many of y'all thought you would be happy when everybody knew your name, and now they do, and it's not as fun as you thought it was going to be? See, here's what I'm trying to show you. What we hold on to will never make our life happen like what will hold on to us. And he has the name Jesus. Jesus will hold on to you. Now, think about this. How many of y'all remember when you started out in life, you just thought, Lord, have mercy, when I make whatever amount of money is, then I'll be happy. How many of y'all ever had that thought? I thought to myself, man, if Elizabeth and I just ever make... I remember this. I was in a ministry. So I thought if Elizabeth and I could ever make $20,000 one year, we had it made. It was all over after that. Then we had kids, and it had just begun. How many of y'all remember? Any of y'all remember when you were young? Man, if I just make $20,000, man, it's over. I mean, thank God I'm rich. How many of y'all remember when you were 16 and they gave you... this? I'm old. I know you young people have meant $20, man. You can't even go out on a date for $20. What do you? This is a long time ago when $20 used to buy something. Okay, I mean, you go to McDonald's and movie $20, and you have a little left over to buy you some 8-tracks after the thing was over with for $20 back in the day. You know, or cassettes. See, that's how old. Doc, you remember cassettes, don't you? You remember 8-tracks. Big Jim, you remember reel-to-reel. You know what I mean? I mean, you back there steel hopping, baby. You remember when Soul Train couldn't even spell digital. You know what I mean? But it was grooving, right? But this is life. Be glad and what? Rejoice. Now, I'm going to bring this back to you. What you hold on to is not half as good as what holds on to you. David came to this realization. He writes this psalm. Some few, this brother had money. Did I tell you that? He had kingdom. Did I tell you that? For those of you, how many of you men ever thought this? Man, if I just get me a beautiful woman, everything is going to be all right. Come on, guys, fess up here in the service. How many of y'all have ever thought to yourself, Leonard's the only one telling the truth on Thanksgiving weekend. How many of y'all thought, man, if I just go out with this girl, come on, guys, I'm going to pick on you today. If I just go out with this girl, life is going to be all right. How many of y'all got a date with that girl? How many of y'all realized during the dates you wasn't as smart as you thought you were? It's real stuff. I'm showing you. See, at Hillview, you know, let me tell you what we try to do here at Hillview. I want to get this faith thing down to where we live every day. I don't think it does any good to go to church. You get high and lifted up. You don't go to heaven, and then it doesn't work on Monday. This stuff's got to work on Monday. This is where we really live. Now, guess what? Some of you are already going to have a bad Thanksgiving because it's not going to turn out like your mind wants it to. How many of y'all got that person in your family you know is coming for dinner? Okay, but how many of y'all know they're coming? I remember one Christmas, my father, a couple Christmases back, he came to me, and my father's a very orderly man, very, very, very logical man, and he looked at me and met me at the door, and he said, Stephen, I need something from you for Christmas. I said, Pops, whatever you need within reasonable situation, you know, I can help you with this. And he said, all I want to ask you to do is will you not start in on your sisters till after the meal? Now, I thought that was a reasonable request. So I went one better than that. We always have custard, and I waited for my sister, not Beth Ann, the other one. I waited for her to finish her custard. And what I love about my sister, every holidays, one political comment that she doesn't agree with, you can just kind of whisper it, and she comes unglued for 3 hours. It was just like when we were kids, when you could just do a little something to her and she would come unglued. And I'm telling you, that's why I go home for Christmas. That's my job as the oldest brother. And I just, you know, I watch his fainter. I say things I don't believe just to watch her explode. You know, and I do this. I have a holiday custom. I thank her husband for staying with her another year. I said, no other man God created could do this, but you've managed to do this for 7 years now. You're a powerful guy. I stand in awe of you. And she just looks at me, tapping her foot, and she's real sophisticated. And now she's got a son. The Lord gave her a son. And I can't wait till her son turns 16 and has holes in his jeans and listens to country music. These are my further prayers. You know. You all know they're coming. Amen? Now, here's what I want you to know. I think it's time that we as the church, those who say they follow God, we learn how to rejoice and be glad. And I want you to take an inventory for just a moment today. God's given you some great things. And guys, as a church, we got it. Man, I'm so thankful. We just listened to an administrator. You know what Mark Hill is? He's the executive pastor. He's the nuts and bolts pastor. He's the pastor that makes sure we don't mess up with taxes and things like that. He's the guy that orchestrates and puts it together. And you know what I'm so thankful for? Did you hear the passion from our executive pastor that this church would win souls for Jesus Christ? That doesn't happen everywhere. You know why I love working with Mark Hale? He gets the vision. He knows what he's got and organized is not who's organizing him. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, man. I want you to know something today. Some of you are going to realize God wants to save you today. God wants to love you today. God wants to give you a new life today. How many of y'all realize? That's why I'm here. Amen. I'm not here to go to church. If y'all are just going to church, it won't work. I come to worship because I've met Jesus. How many of y'all come to worship because you met Jesus? Jesus is doing something great in your life. Jesus is doing something extraordinary. Now, here's what I want you to know. You're not going to be perfect if you follow Jesus. How many of y'all understand that? How many of y'all are perfect? Because if you are perfect, you're the one coming over to the house this week that everybody dreads. So just quit being perfect. Let me tell you what you do. When we try to be perfect, you know what it is? You know what it really is? We believe what we create is better than what God can create. Now, I'm telling you about a rich sucker. Have I told you that David had a lot of money? Have I told you that today? Have I told you the dude's got a lot of fame? Have I told you about this king? And here's what he writes. Out of all the things he had seen, Psalm 40, last verse, God is my deliverer. God is my thankfulness. He tells us this. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And may those who love your salvation always say, the Lord be exalted. How many of y'all realize that's the way to live? May the Lord be what? Now that's the key to living. Watch. Not may I be happy, but may the Lord be what? Now just think about this. Does that change the way you make decisions? Does that change the way you live? Well, absolutely. May the Lord be exalted. Well, God, I don't feel good. Now, everybody, please hold to your seat. This is going to be a tough one. God is not Dr. Phil. Now, Dr. Phil cares how you feel because he makes millions of dollars off of how you feel, which increases him to feel better. Y'all understand how this works? Dr. Phil. God goes much deeper than how you feel. He goes to making you into who you are. Isn't that amazing? Young generation over here in the corner pocket. If you all could change your strategy on feelings, and this is going to be very difficult because you all grew up with us baby boomer parents and we felt everything, literally. We are a culture of feeling. We believe if it makes us feel good, then it must be good for us. We've created a whole philosophy on the human feeling. Basically, here's what we did theologically. We put the human being as the center of the universe. Bad move on the chessboard. God is the center of the universe, of all that there is, and humans flow in His creative order. But we're not God. You know what David learned? He wasn't God. He was a king, but he wasn't who? And the king wasn't happy. The king was having some difficulties. But the king had discovered this truth. May all who seek God's salvation, may they understand, may the Lord deliver them, and may the Lord be what? Exalted. David realized when it's all said and done, what God had done in him is all that would hold up. He realized that when he died, he didn't get to be the king. He realized that when he died, guess what? All of his coins laid on the ground. In fact, some his coins are still available. I was over in Israel and saw a coin that had been discovered in a dig in Israel at the city of David. All the coin. I mean, he had his picture on money. How many of y'all realize you've gotten pretty important when they put your picture on money? You know, David's got his picture on some coin. But guess what? He's not here anymore. He's with the Lord. And what really holds up is that He's with the Lord. Now here's what I want you to know. The Lord wants to be with you. Did you hear what David said? He got it. He got life. He said, may all those who seek God. How many? What's the number? How many? How many? So let me ask you a question. Who can be saved around you? Yeah. The way I like to say it is this. Anybody. Because I look at it like this. If God can save me, let me help you. You all are all qualified. When I look at the Ten Commandments, it's tough because when I look at the Ten Commandments, I didn't pass. How many of y'all have passed the Ten Commandments? But see, you got to be honest with the Ten Commandments. Some of you go, well, I'll tell you what, I've never worshipped any other gods. You have too. If you're a UK fan, you've worshipped other gods. And I've seen a lot of y'all go crazy, especially. I saw some of you this morning. Y'all kind of walked in. All the UK fans were like, and some of y'all walked by and said, hey, Pastor Steve, do you know we beat Georgia? Yes. Do you know a blind squirrel even finds a nut every once in a while? I mean, these things. But I'm talking about on a consistent basis. You know what I mean? See, it's a lot different. Florida fans here, they walk in, they don't even tell me they won. They expect it. Now, that's faith. You see, that's a different level. There's no surprise. Amen? There's no surprise that God was going to do what He's going to do. David knew that. He said, may all who seek God's salvation be delivered. May the Lord be exalted. I want you to think about that this week. How is the Lord God be exalted in your life? Because you're a part of His salvation. Isn't that cool, Fainter? You're a part of God's deliverance. What do you think about that? When God looks at all the things He delivered, there's a Fainter in there. Unbelievable. I like your comment. Chase Goff. You're in there. What do you think about when God looks at a guy who was born in Butler County. I say if God could deliver Butler County, all things are possible. Amen. You see what I mean? Everybody's what? Possible. Will you all remember that? Because, man, I know they're coming over. I know, listen, Thanksgiving ought to be a time of thanks. And I think sometimes in this world, I don't know about you, but if you watch the news much, you will be diagnosed bipolar. True? I mean, one day our economy's all right, next day our economy's all gone. One day you're feeling good, one day you're feeling bad. You know why? What we hold on to will not hold up. But who holds us lasts forever. That ought to give you some hope. You know what I mean? Now, Marty, I know you good, you know, karate, kung fu, but you don't fight like you did 20 years ago. True or false? True. You know why? Not old. That's not my point, Marty. My point is, watch this. If all we do is use our bodies, will they last forever? No. Ladies, I know y'all, you know, oil it up, pull it back and all that. But it still ain't going to last forever. That's not a bad thing. I'm just showing you what we hold on to doesn't last for what?
Ever.
That's what I mean. But it does last for a moment. But God lasts forever. All moments. So God wants to be in your life. That causes us to be glad and what? Rejoice. So I just want you to put this in your thought process this week. How many of y'all got a lot of things to be glad and rejoiced over? Listen, you ought to wake up in the morning. Those of you that are married, there's a lot of guys here married, children. Okay, you got that going on. Listen, I want you to do something this week. I want you to thank your children for being with you. That'll blow them away. Hey, I just want you to know, kids, we're glad that God gave you to us. I'm glad that God gave me our two kids. Now, have they always made me feel good? Lord, no. Have they always done everything we ask? Take a guess. No, because Elizabeth's in them. And now, see, y'all know that to not be true. Did you see everybody? Man, he's lying right now. Brother lying. We know where the hell came. Amen? We know where the rough stuff comes. Hello? You know, let me tell you where it comes from. It comes from when we try to hold on and make our own life instead of, wait a minute, God, I'm going to let you show me where it is. I'm going to trust you. What blows me away about this historically is a king writes this. A powerful man with great reputation, much wealth, fame, fortune. And he says, you better listen to what God's got to say. Because let me show you. You find life when you realize you're not God. Doesn't that blow you away? Listen, a lot of you are very successful in this room. I'm very proud of you. I am proud of you. I'm very proud of you. And others are proud of you. But it's not enough to take you on, is it? It's not enough to get you to the next moment. It's not enough to embrace where it is. God calls out and says, you know what? Realize I will deliver you and I will love you. Look over here. Then he says, yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. What did David realize? Without God, I don't have enough. Now, how many of y'all realize if God is in your house, how many of y'all got something to be thankful over? I mean, I really want to wake you up to this. Yeah, go ahead and clap. That's good clap. That'd be good. That'd be a good spot. Yep. Hold on. It's okay to clap there. That's a good line. You're right. If God is in your household, wow. Now, I got to give you a challenge and we're going to get out of here. This Thanksgiving, how many people in your family need to see that you really love the Lord?
I mean, if you're going to claim Christ, I mean, love. Now, listen, don't put a big Jesus sticker pilgrim hat on. That just shows people you're out of your mind. I want you to see. You see, this is the problem with religious people. We go crazy. I guarantee there'll be the pilgrims, original Americans, read out of the King James Bible. God does not act like this. I've read the book. Because you know what God does? He doesn't draw attention unto himself. He draws his attention unto heaven. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. My Father's house. I'm here to get you connected to the kingdom of God. I'm here. Watch. Everything about God is to get you beyond what you can see. And where do we want to live? Heaven. We've got some of our Western football players with us today. I want you to know, brothers, I love you, and I want you to know if you'll listen to what God's got to say, He's going to teach you a lesson right now of how to get beyond what you can see. Somebody asked me, they said, why do we go through tough times? I said, that's so you can learn you got a big God. And we don't learn it till we get there in tough times. You know when most of us men care about our marriage?
You're about to lose it.
It's a hee-haw, oops, she's gone. I do. Wait, I got Elizabeth and I got, listen, somebody asked me, they said, you really know how to do marriage problem, how to do marriage counseling. I said, I've already had all the marriage problems. You know, somebody who's had chicken pox knows how to tell you what lotion to use to keep you from itching. I've been in these spots. And Elizabeth and I had to say, you know what? We've had moments in marriage where it came down to let the Lord be exalted. And she said, well, I don't like you. And I said, well, I don't like you either. We don't like each other. But may the Lord be what? Now, let me show you how that's powerful. If our relationship was based on liking each other, what would happen to us? We'd have divorced. But our relationship was based on the Lord be what?
Exalted.
And you know what I found? You don't like each other for a moment. And then what happens? Here's what I found in marriage. If you'll stay with each other long enough, you'll eventually love each other. Out of nothing other than just time. How many of y'all found the longer you live together, the more you get used to each other? You know, and you notice this, Liv and I have been married 25 years in December. It's unbelievable. If you want to know there's a God right there. I'm going to tell you right now, in Vegas, nobody dropped money that Elizabeth and I would be married 25 years from now. In fact, everybody said, first of all, they said, he'd be out of the ministry. Somebody's shooting. Now, that could have been a possibility. Odds pretty good on that. But you know what? They didn't think our marriage was going to last, did they? What did everybody tell us?
Too young. You're too young.
And then they tell Elizabeth, he ain't got a lick of sense. And you know what? Elizabeth was at that moment. She's never had it again. I've been praying 25 years it might come back. But I remember she used to look at me and go, oh. And I could even hear music behind me. Oh. Now, y'all hold on. That's the way it starts. But I don't know what happens. It don't take long. And goes to no, no, no. And then it moves from awe to how could I have done this? May the Lord be what? Exalted. How many of y'all need to hold on in moments? Every once in a while, may the Lord be exalted. Even when I don't feel so good. To me, this is why we can be glad and rejoice, because I am poor and needy. I want to wrap it up. Listen, we're all poor and needy without God. We can have the riches of the world, and if we miss heaven, we've lived a poor life. We can have recognition and fame and fortune, but if we... Apparently, fame doesn't heal you. Because what if it happens to famous people? Y'all ever notice this? Why would John Belushi kill himself? I mean, the dude's funny. He had fame. He got to be on TV shows. And they paid him millions of dollars to do it. What happened to his life? He's poor and needy. Where was the church? Where's the church been? Where have we been, guys? Why can't we tell people there's more to it? I mean, we don't have to preach. We have to love. We need to quit telling everybody what they need to do and start living out glad and rejoice. I'm telling you, you can refuse it, but a positive believing attitude in the Lord Jesus Christ changes your eternity. And it changes how you live your every day. I'm glad to know that when I listen to the news, guess what? Okay, It's the news today. It'll change tomorrow. God's the same. Don't you all get freaked out either? What's coming now? I've heard this the last 6 months. The Mayans and the great prophets and all of the people have determined what? When? 2012. If I believed the world was coming to the end 2012, I'd be driving a 926 or 929 red Porsche out in the parking lot on payments. If y'all ever see that out there in the parking lot, it's coming to an end, baby. I'm telling you, all right? So, watch, it's just not about when the world's coming to an end. Let me ask you a question. You know why some of y'all sweat the world coming to an end? You know why you sweat that out deep down inside? Because your world's never begun. Because your world doesn't begin till you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Be exalted in me, Lord. I no longer want to live for the moment. I want to live in your eternity. Boy, you get that up in you, guess what? 212, 213, who cares when it ends? Because guess what? Your and my salvation will never end. I mean, y'all get that? It'll never end. So, rejoice this Thanksgiving. Be glad. How many of y'all glad you got food to cook? How many of y'all glad your mother-in-law's coming over? Look here, guys. Look here. Look how God's been working with me. Amen. It's taken 25 years, but He's there. It don't matter when it happens. No, listen, I'm excited. My mother-in-law's coming over to Thanksgiving this year, and I'm pumped up about that. I really am. I love my mother-in-law. I love teasing her. And I love her. I'm glad Elizabeth's still here at Thanksgiving. I thank her every holiday. Glad you stayed. In fact, there's some weeks I get up on Monday and I say, I'm glad you're still here. But no, hold on. And occasionally, once every 5 years, I've even heard it from her. Honey, I'm glad you stayed. Glad we kept this thing together. Watch this. Rejoice. I'm glad my two kids get to come. Glad they're coming. I'm glad when they bring friends. Clay's even got a... Clay's got a boy hanging around her. Oh, that shouldn't happen. Should not happen. But guess what I know? I had a gracious older man in my life that I love dearly. He's gone on to be in a great cloud of witnesses. When I think about Thanksgivings, I think about Elizabeth's dad. And there I came bound, and I've been sharing Thanksgivings with her since I was 15 years old. Here's this old knot-headed teenager that comes bouncing into their Thanksgiving table, and her dad would always love me, and I'd always talk to him. You know, and I thought, he observed me carrying on, and he let me marry his daughter anyway. But let me tell you what, man was crying when he brought her up to the altar. That's a true story. Wasn't he, Elizabeth? He was crying. I mean, it was like weeping, like at the Jewish wall where he was deep from his eternal God. And he stood right here, and I looked at him. I said, Henry, it ain't that bad. He went, oh, oh. Eventually, he gave me her hand. You know why he was able to walk off of that moment? And I didn't realize how tough that really was, because I mean, I've never been a dad that had a daughter, but he's dad that had a daughter. One day, that's going to be a tough moment in my life. Well, not as tough as it was for apparently Mr. Moss. But, I mean, I'm just going to look at the dude, and I am going to tell him this. The bills are all on you from here on out, big boy. So there will be some, be glad and rejoice. Have y'all gotten this stuff works in life? How many of y'all got that today? We're out of here. You got that today?
In life.
Challenge. Be glad and rejoice this holiday. We're not going to be able to buy as much. Okay? It's okay. We've been sold a bill of goods. Ayers' theory. If money made us so happy in America, why are we taking so many antidepressants? My grandparents didn't take antidepressants. They didn't have to go to therapy to how to raise kids. They came out of a depression. 2 world wars. 1 and 2. My grandfather fought 1. And somehow or another, they lived in the same house for 64 years of marriage. Now, Elizabeth, that was way back. I don't think God's going to put you through that. But for them, it was 64 years. And you know what? My grandparents, especially my grandmother, taught me something. Deaf, couldn't hear. That's what it means to be deaf. She had polio. She was crippled up. And she was excited about every day of her life. All 93 years of them. I've told you all this before. It's amazing. This lady just tripped me out on how to be glad and rejoice. She drove a car. Now, not well, but she drove one up into 3 weeks before she passed away. Wasn't always on the right side of the world or the road. But I mean, they would know on Thursday, Miss Bess Jewell was going to the IGA in Meridian, Mississippi. And people would just kind of get out of the way. And you know what? And she'd get back because that's her day she was going out. Made it to the IGA in the beauty shop. Anybody know that routine? She got dialed up and groceried up all in one day and she went and lived out the rest of the week. Played the church organ with arthritic hands. How you do that? How you play the church organ with arthritic hands and inability to hear? You play it because the Lord be what? Exalted. When everybody in the world is telling you you can't make it, then you may have to agree with David. You're right, world. I am poor and needy, but the Lord be what? Exalted. And so in your Thanksgiving this week, may the Lord be exalted. Rejoice and be glad. There's a lot more things to give praise over than there is to give complaint over if you'll just wake up and look at it. Amen? All right. Everybody cool? Did I tell you today God wants to save you? Y'all got a hint that He might like to save you? If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ in your life, I want to highly recommend that you do that because hell's not a nice place. Is that clear enough? I know some of you who are politically correct are very offended that I would use the word hell and you think that I'm being very judgmental. I am. I'm telling you the absolutely truth. Absolute truth. If you don't meet Jesus Christ in your life, after you're finished from here, you've had nothing. I mean, what are you going to tell God? You're rich? Have you ever thought about how stupid you're going to be when you stand on the streets of gold and talk about your money? God's going to go, we call that blacktop up here. Here's what you had. You had a pile of blacktop. So God Led Zeppelin was wrong? Yeah, you can't buy your way, you know, stairway into heaven. Led lied. She's not buying her stairway into heaven. And you're not either. Don't y'all look at me like you never listened to any Led. Some of y'all were with me when we listened to all that good stuff. You know, wow. Back when we had Jensen 6x9s and Radio Shack 100-watt amps, we were only 4 watts. Y'all remember those days? Look. Today, if you ask Jesus to save you, He will. Rejoice and be glad. Why don't you ask Him, Lord Jesus, come into my what? Life. Forgive me of my what? I need you, Lord. Oh, Lord, my deliverer, do not delay, said David. I bet if you ask Jesus to come into your life, He'd save you. How many of y'all think He might do that? I think He will. You know why? I haven't seen anybody that He can't save. So how many of y'all sitting here right now? Well, Pastor, you don't Lord, you don't understand, man. I'm like a real sinner. No, you don't really understand. You're sitting next to a real sinner. Look over there. Look next to you. There's a real sinner. Wherever you look. No, look around. Come on, y'all, look around. I want you to see some real sinners. Yeah. That bothers some of y'all, don't you? So, Pastor Steve, how dare you call me a sinner? I have not cussed in public in years. In fact, I say shoo-wee. Well, we all know what it means. Well, just, no, come on. My mom would always go, well, I'm not even going to go there. Let me give you the formula, though. We try to use nice words to explain things that stink. And David says, it stinks, and may God deliver me. My sin stinks, and so does yours. May God deliver us. Amen. He works all the way down there in Puerto Rico, doesn't he, Virginia? All the way down in Puerto Rico. You can get a mango and grace all in the same country because Jesus is there. That's what I'm talking about. Bobby, he worked in St. Louis, won't he? He can go to East St. Louis. I've seen Jesus in East St. Louis, even law enforcement agents won't go to East St. Louis, but Jesus will. Am I telling the truth? Isn't that cool? Mr. King, God will use computer programming minds. What do you think about that? Absolutely. Let's have an altar. You already have an altar? If you want to see God do something really cool in your life today, let's go ahead and stand up. That means go ahead and stand up. I want to offer you an invitation to come and be saved. The greatest thing I know that could happen to you over the holidays. Oh, what a tragic moment this would be. How about you get saved and get baptized on Christmas? Oh, that would be just heartbreaking, wouldn't it? Man, what a great life. Come on, guys. How many of y'all are glad we get to live this life to the fullest? Man, I got excited. You know what? Let me just tell you some things you ought to be excited about. I'm excited to be saved. Aren't you, Markel? You and I broke the Ten Commandments, didn't you? Left together, you and I would need to go to Weight Watchers, wouldn't we? Mark and I eat junk food when we go to lunch. Watch as we sin. I said, Mark, we need to eat healthy. He said, Big Macs are on special today at McDonald's. I said, that sounds healthy to me. Because it's saving money. Amen, Mark? Yeah. Even God eats Big Macs. Yeah. Good stuff. Listen, these pastors up here, I want to thank you guys today, seriously. I want to thank every one of you for being the men and women that God made you to be. I want to thank you that He called you to Hillview Heights Church. I want to thank you that every one of you have been wet with baptismal waters. I want to thank you that you do not step back when we got to plow ahead. I want to thank you that you're able to keep up with a lead pastor that's never one time, as long as he takes breath, going to walk into your office and tell you we're finished. I cannot envision that happening in our lifetime. Now, if they're right about 212, that's when we'll be finished. But I doubt they're right. I doubt they're right, Reverend Reynolds. If you thought they were right, you wouldn't be working on that PhD, would you? No. I don't think they're right. Because you know what? I'm going to be very honest. I don't want God to come back in 212. I don't, Alan. Too many of my friends are going to hell if God comes back in 212. 85,000 people plus, and I'm giving a genuine figure here, disconnected in Warren County from Jesus Christ, will go to hell if God comes back in 212. That's 85,000 too many. Yo. Well, today, it's gotten about five better in the last two services. Maybe it's going to be 100 better after this service. By the way, we're fixing to get crazy. I want Pew, I pray this all the time. I don't want a football player leaving Western Kentucky without Jesus. You got that, KB? You might miss a tackle or two, but you better not miss the Lord. Amen? Now, if you miss a tackle, you're just going to get accustomed. If you miss the Lord, hold on. If you miss the Lord, guess what's going to happen? You'll forever be disconnected. Too big a price. That makes sense? Guest, if you're wondering, is it always that crazy in here? Yeah. Every Sunday we see people come to the Lord. Every Sunday somebody gets better. But right now I want to give you that invitation. I'm thankful I get to say this today. Any person, no matter where you've been or what you've done, if you will come to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins and ask Jesus to come into your life, He will forgive you and you will begin a new life into heaven that lasts forever and ever. You cannot manufacture this. You cannot make this up. You must receive it from Jesus. Right now, as we've been worshiping, God's been moving in some people's lives. You feel God tugging at your heart going, you know what? I need to receive you, Jesus. Well, we're going to pray that you do that. And then you come forward and let us know. How many of y'all need to come forward today and just thank God? You know, aren't you glad you're alive today? I'm glad you're alive today. Isn't that cool? Tell you what, God's giving you a beautiful wife. He's giving you a daughter. You better pray, because your daughter's severely smart. I know how that is. Without prayer, you and I are at a loss. He's giving you those things. BJ, who would have thought when you were a 10-year-old little buckethead? Seriously. If somebody had asked me, I'd give you $100. If Stroutman's going to stand on the stage and lead praises for God. You were a 10-year-old kid when he started his church. Remember that, Rhonda? Hey, I'll give you $100. I said, man, I'll take that $100 and double or nothing. I'd have lost a lot of money because God knew what He was doing. You see what I'm saying? By the way, I just want to let y'all know,
Nobody voted me in my senior year to be a preacher. Chase, nowhere in my yearbook does it say most likely to preach. Nowhere, Larry. Had most likely some other things that we won't talk about, but not preach. God will do crazy things with your life if you give your life to who? God. Can you come and pray? Challenge. Mark's already set the challenge financially in all three services. We got one other service to go, our fourth service tonight. One more challenge I want you to come and pray for. Man, I look today, some of y'all, this is a weird day. We got a bunch of weird people that showed up today. How many of y'all glad to be a part of them? That do powerfully weird things all through this community. Watch this. I want you to see the vision. I want you to see this vision. There are enough contacts in different places all over this community to reach all 85,000 people in this service alone. So I got to ask you to do some things. I'm going to tell you, this staff, they're cool, they're nice, they're wonderful, they're smart, they're God-blessed. They can't reach 85,000. I can't reach 85,000, but you can. One at a time. And that's our mission. And when we get done with that, we'll go to Russellville. That'll take 1,000 years over it. No, I'm just kidding. You ready? Let's pray. Lord, give us the vision, the truth. Thank you for the folks that showed up today. Thank you for the children that are in this auditorium that have heard music that ignites our passion and have felt the power of the Holy Spirit. God, you will do something in the next generation. It's not you're going to. You will. You will. You will. So God, in your will, may your will draw people to you today. If you've never asked Jesus into your life today in this prayer, why don't you ask him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I love you, Lord. I believe you died. I believe you've risen. But God, I repent. I repent. Jesus, draw me to your grace. See what happens. If you know God's come into your life today, would you come share that with one of the pastors so we can rejoice with you? Hey, today, how many of y'all need to just come up to this altar, put your knee down on this altar and say, God, thank you for the life I'm getting to live. And let me give you the good news. There's a life better even to come. That's how you and I get to live. So right now, in the name of Jesus, may the Lord draw you to celebrate His grace. Oh, Lord, come and deliver us all quickly, we pray, just like David prayed. May we be delivered, may we be glad, and may we rejoice. In the name of Jesus, come, let us rejoice. Let us receive Him. Let us come and be baptized. Let us come and know He is God. This altar's open. Thank you for coming. Let the Lord bless you. Come on. Come on, don't stand there. As people come, let the Lord touch you and bless you. God doing something great right now. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. Come on, let Him do it. Don't step away. Step forward and see what happens to you. Step forward. Step forward.